So this morning in Leviticus chapter 23, as we dig in, we did the first four feasts that they were proclaiming that the Lord was telling the people of Israel about to have in their yearly feasts, these seven feasts, these seven major feasts that they would go through. And we went through the first four, which we saw Jesus was the fulfillment of, and they were in the first part of the year, from the first month into the second month, but they were in that place in the first part of the year for them, and then there was a break almost of the feasts while they went through their harvest, while they went through their plantings and all of those things, and bringing them to the end of the year, towards the end of the year. And in these last few feasts that they were going to go through, these last three, you can see as we go through it, and we'll touch on them a little bit, but there's so many scriptures to go along with it that we can't get them all, but we'll certainly get a few, was the regathering and the call to repentance, the call for Israel to come back home, the call for just to be cleansed in the Lord, and then to remember what God had done. And certainly that's for us too, is the Lord remembers his faithfulness to us, that we want to remember the Lord in his faithfulness. He recalls to us and for us that he's always been faithful. And we can all look back on our lives and realize how faithful God has been. He sustained us, he's kept us, he strengthened us during hard times. He's given us grace and mercy in the midst of it, and he hears our cries. He knows the cries that you have in your heart right now. So remember what the Lord has done. It says this in verse 23 of chapter 23. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." And again, the Lord just speaking constantly to Moses, just ministering to him, and he giving the word out to the people, speaking to them and encouraging them and what the Lord has said. But he says to the people then through Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and a holy convocation." This place where holiness is going to be called to, where that place where God is going to minister to his people and speak to them. But he's calling them. He's wanting them to remember who he is, his faithfulness to them, and calling them back to a place where they would remember what God has done. And we see in this chapter just these yearly feasts. In the next chapter, or the next couple of chapters, we're going to deal with the ministry of the daily things that needed to take place in their lives. But here we're seeing the overall yearly things that are going to take place in their lives. And so the Lord just doesn't deal with us in a general sense of dealing with those things that happen to us year by year. He's dealing with those things even that take place every day that we have to deal with. And so we see the faithfulness of God, that he isn't going to leave us or forsake us, and he's concerned about those daily things as well as the yearly things. We certainly need to keep track of those and pay attention to those and remember what God has done for us year by year, but also day by day. And that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? We can remember the year by year, and that's okay. It goes by quickly, but the daily things. Lord, every day is just the same. Every day is so hard. We have to get up. We have to move. We have to get out of bed. We have to exercise just so the bones can get moving and so that we can get going through the day. And Lord, those things are so hard, but he's concerned about those things. And he takes care of those things for us. If we look to him and if we're seeking him, he's going to show us those things. And so he reminds the people of Israel in the seventh month. Remember, number seven in Scripture speaks of completion, speaks of perfection. He says, on the first day of the month, you're going to have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, the trumpets blowing. And we see in Isaiah chapter 18, verse 3, he says this. He says, "All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye, when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye." Pay attention when the trumpet blows. we're listening for a trumpet that the archangel is going to blow for the rapture of the church. And so we, as you look at it, it's not just for Israel, it's for you and I too. We're all listening for that trumpet to blow. But for Israel, it was probably more impactful because they were in a place where they would blow the trumpets, and the way that they blew the trumpets would be a call for the people of Israel either to come to war or to come to the midst of the camp because the Lord was going to speak to them. But in all these ways, when the trumpet blew, it had a certain sound. It had a certain call to it, and it would call Israel to listen and to hear and then to do something that the trumpets would sound for. And that's important for us. We're listening for the trumpets so that we can go to heaven and get raptured out of this mess. but they're looking, and they're going to see that it's for the trumpets for them to call to come back to Israel, to come back to that place. And he has that call for Israel, and he's going to regather them as he brings them, because the call that goes out with the trumpets blowing is to bring them back into Israel and into that place where the Lord dwells so that they can be together, so that they can be together and be God's people as one group again. And we see in the world now that there's more Jews, for the first time in a long time, there's more Jews in Israel than there are in the rest of the world now. But he's calling more of them home. Since October 7th, over 40,000 more Jews have moved to Israel and left the countries that they were in. You would think they would scatter and say, I don't want to go there. There's trouble, there's wars, there's stuff going on. I'm not going back there, but more going back there now than ever. Why? Because God is calling, and they have ears to hear. They're listening to the call, and they're saying, okay, it's time to go home. And the home is Israel. Oh. And so we see that trumpet call, how important that is, and how important it is for us, how important it is for them. But we look and we see these first four feasts at the first part of the year. We see these last three feasts at the end of the year. And we realize that there's an age in that time period between the first four and the last three. There's a period where there's growth, there's a period where things are going on, and we see it because one of the last feasts that we looked at was the first fruits, was the offerings. It was the feast of Pentecost, where the New Testament church was born. And then there's a time period between that and the next feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets. And we realize, as you look at Scripture, that you can put the church age in this time period. And realize that the church is growing, that the church is doing something, and then the Feast of Trumpets, when the Lord calls us home, as you put that together with it. And so you can look at it in many different ways and see many different things, but it's an important feast to the Lord, and it should be important to us. And he says, speak unto the children of Israel, because I'm going to do something in this time, and you don't want to do any servile work therein. And we've seen that before, that you don't want to do any work in that time period, because the Lord is working. We can't do any work to bring that about, to make it happen, because the Lord is doing it. And you're going to see that all the way through, that with every feast, the only one that was working was the high priest. And it's our high priest that's working. He's the one that's done all of the work to keep these feasts going, to see that those feasts come prophetically to a closed, prophetically to a place where they could realize that, God, you fulfilled every part of this for us. We had no part in it because we couldn't do it. Not only couldn't we do it, we didn't even want to until the Lord showed us the need for it and that he was going to be able to do it for us because we couldn't. That's one of the reasons we take communion, to remember what he's done, because we had a price that we couldn't pay, and Jesus paid it for us. And we remember, and we give thanks, and we just rejoice in that. And people, get excited. Don't just sit there. Get excited. God is moving. God is working. He's doing stuff, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see all that he's doing, and we've got his word that we can get excited about. We've got his word that shows us everything that's going on and how much God has done for us. And we sit here and go, oh man, it's Sunday morning. I got to go to church. Instead of realizing and remembering that, God, you've done so much for me. I should be excited to get here. I should be excited to be in your presence. So Lord, forgive me that I'm not excited about the things that you're excited about. And here's these feasts that are going on. It tells us this in Joel chapter 2. We're going to be in Joel a little bit today, but in Joel chapter 2, it tells us this chapter 2 in verse 15 and 19. Well, I'll pick up at verse 11 and read through. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? So the day of the Lord is coming, the day of the Lord when the Lord comes back and gathers Israel together and brings them to a place and then takes care of them, defeats the enemy, and then all of Israel is going to be saved that's left upon the earth. Oh. He says, therefore, in verse 12, also now saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart. So there's a call, the trumpet call, and then there's a call to come to repentance. Whenever God calls, he calls us to come to him, but then we have to realize that there's also a call for us to repent for the ways that we've been, because if we weren't in the wrong place, God wouldn't have to call us to come back to the right place, would he? Oh. So, Lord, forgive me for the ways that I've gone, because if I hadn't have gone those ways, you wouldn't have had to call me back. But aren't you glad the Lord is faithful and the Lord is gracious, and he calls us back? He doesn't have to. He's complete within himself. He doesn't need to call us back. He doesn't need us. But he calls us back because he loves us. And he calls us back because he wants us to have a relationship with him so that he can bless us. Oh. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants you. And you may think, I'm so unworthy. Why would God even care about me? He cares about you so much that he went to the cross to die for you. That's a lot of caring. Remember what God has done. Don't think of how awful your life is. Don't think of how bad things are for you right now. Think of how good God is. And it will just cause you to rejoice and be in that place. So he says, therefore, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart. As he calls them to come back, he sounds the trumpet and he says, come back to me, but come back to me with all of your heart. Don't come back to me just, nah, 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 nah. Maybe I'll come back, maybe I won't. maybe I'll be a blessing to the Lord today and come back. He doesn't need us. But when we come back, we turn to him with all of our heart. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my heart wanders, sometimes my heart strays, and I don't come back to the Lord with all of my heart. Just listening to some of the guys yesterday talking, and then some of the guys just saying what's going on in their lives at the Men's Day at Greece there, and just listening to Pastor Ray Torrey, and he just blessed me yesterday, because he got to me just in the place that I was in, but just talking about the forgiveness of God, in the love of God, in how we need to forgive those around us, and how much compassion Jesus had for the people. Because how many times do you see in the Gospels that Jesus looked and he had compassion on the people? Not because they deserved it, but because he loved them. It was just like, oh Lord, just break my heart. Just make me a puddle in the chair that I'm in. Just make sure somebody cleans me up afterwards and just gets me out of there. But it just, oh, the places that he brings us to. But he says, come back to me with all your heart, with fasting, not just fasting from food, but fasting in that place from the junk of the world that just gets in our way. Lord, help me to get that out of me, the stuff that distracts me, the stuff that interferes with who I am, the stuff that's in my way, and with weeping and with mourning. So the call is there to come back for repentance, to come back and repent from our way, and listen to what he says in Joel. And this is amazing for the Old Testament, because we think the Old Testament's just this place of harshness and hardness, and we need to come back to the law. But listen to what Joel says, and he says in verse 13, and rend your heart. Tear your heart. Let your heart be torn. Let your heart really be broken. Don't come back to me in your pride, in your arrogance. Come back to me with your heart broken, because I want to put it back together in the right way so that you can have a stronger heart. And some of you with heart trouble know what it is when the doctor's going to operate. And they do things in your heart just to make it stronger and to make it better. You have oblations for those that have AFib, and you go through those oblations so it can beat in the right pattern. God wants your heart beating in the right pattern, and he wants to do that work, but he can't do it until your heart's broken. And sometimes there's things that come about in our lives, and there's situations that come about in our lives where hearts just get broken, and they almost get ripped out because of the things that are happening to our families, the things that are happening to us, the things that are happening to those that are around us, and our hearts get broken. And he says, well, come to me and get in my word. Listen to what I say to you, because I want to put your heart back together, and I want it beating in the right way. And I'm the only one, I'm the only physician, I'm the only doctor that can put it back in the right way. And we've all been in hard situations, and hopefully our hearts have been broken to that place, but we went to the doctor Jesus and let him fix us. Lord, only you can heal me from this hurt that I'm going through. Only you can heal me from the situations that I'm in. Only you can be the real one that puts my heart back together in the right place so that it's stronger than ever. But he's calling Israel to come and then to repent. And in that place of repentance, our hearts get fixed. Our heart gets put back together in the right way. As we look to him, as we seek him first, Joel says, rend your heart and not your garments. The Lord doesn't care if you go about ripping your clothes and saying, oh, poor me, and you're throwing dust on your head and saying, I'm in mourning. He wants to put you back together. He doesn't need more of your clothes torn. He needs your heart broken. And so this morning, if you need your heart broken, just go to the Lord. He wants to break your heart, but he wants to put it back together so that it's stronger than ever. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn back to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful. As he says, don't come to me thinking I'm going to keep beating on you. That's what we would do, right? Our kids come back to us after they've been rotten, dirty, rotten kids. And we look at him and go, you deserve more punishment than this. I want to be angry with you. Look at my face and look at how angry I'm going to be with you kids. And he says, I'm not like that. I'm gracious and merciful. Oh, I'm slow to anger. I have great kindness. And it repented him of the evil that he was doing to them, because he saw their brokenness. He saw their repentance. And he said, I'm not going to bring those things on you that I was going to bring to you, because you've repented and turned. And so now you're not going to have to face the consequences of that. Oh, that's our God. And he says, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Who knows if he's going to come and bring a blessing to us? So the call is there from the trumpet sound. The call is there for Israel to come back, and the call is there for repentance. This isn't just for Israel, is it? This is for you and I. Some of us have strayed this week and walked away and just needed our hearts to have that touch of God so that he could show us that he's gracious and merciful with us and he loves us. And we need to see that. And so this Feast of Trumpets, just a place where there's going to be a regathering, a regrouping of ourselves to the Lord, a regrouping of Israel to the Lord. We see all of those things going on in Scripture. And this is just a reminder for us that this is what God wants to do. Just another call for us to come back to him. And then we come in verse 26 to this next feast, the Day of Atonement that was going to come right after the Feast of Trumpets. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses again, and also on the 10th day of the month. So the day after the 7th month, there's going to be a Day of Atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you. But look at what's going on. The call first, repentance, and then forgiveness. Gee, it seems like there's an order to it here. God always has an order, doesn't he? And know that if you come and you hear the call of the Lord to come back to him, and you repent of the ways that you've gone, that there is going to be forgiveness with God for you. He promises, and he's faithful to do it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for my complaining this week, for my thinking that I've got it worse than everybody else in the world, that my problems are worse than anybody else's. Forgive me, Lord, that I'm complaining and I've gone to the outskirts of the camp, and all of a sudden I'm getting burned by the world and I can't figure out why, because I'm not close to you. I'm not walking with you. His call for us is to come close to him, because he wants us to know his nearness to us. And he wants us to know that he's a forgiving God and a loving God, and that he will forgive. there's going to be a Day of Atonement, this place of atonement. We've read about it in chapter 16 of this same chapter, but just see the order of those things that are coming there. And we see that things are going to be so different. It tells us this in Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 10. He says, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, not of anger and of bitterness and of frustration, but forgiveness and graciousness. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn." And all of these scriptures that we're going through are prophetic in the Old Testament of the things that are coming when Jesus comes back. Even here in Zechariah, it says, "I'm going to pour out upon the house of David, the inhabitants, the spirit of grace," and they're going to know that I'm the one that they've pierced. So it's a remembrance of what he's done, but it's also a place for them of what's going to come in the future. So we see the first four feasts that we looked at last time were of things that have already been accomplished and coming, and then these three feasts are things that are coming for Israel and for you and I. But they're also something that we can have right now. We can have forgiveness with God. He says, "They're going to look upon me whom they've pierced, and they're going to mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that's in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day there's going to be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi and their wives and all of that." And then in chapter 13, verse 1, "And in that day, because they've come and they've repented, because you've come and repented, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David, a fountain of the flowing of the goodness of God upon the people, upon Israel, and upon you and I." And he's opened a fountain gates of heaven to flow upon you of forgiveness for all that you've done. Forgiveness for your ways, your complaining, your murmuring, the places that you've wandered to and away from Jesus. He says, "I'm going to open up the fountain. It's going to flow upon you. And it's going to bring healing to you and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." As he calls them here in Leviticus to come back and to repent, and they come back and he gives repentance. What a good and gracious God we serve. These are all about the regathering of Israel, but the regathering for you and I too, that we can come back to the Lord at any time and know that there's forgiveness with him as we ask, as we hear his call. And isn't it great that he even bothers to call us? I mean, how many times have you walked away from the Lord and said, "God, I'm done with you. I don't like you anymore. I don't like the way that you're working. I don't like the things that you're doing. I don't like this loneliness. I don't like this hardship that I'm going through. I'm done with you, God." And he calls us, and we come back, and he pours out his forgiveness upon us. And all we can do is thank him. Thank you, Lord. And thanksgiving is important to the Lord. Because remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? How many came back and thanked him? Only one. Isn't that amazing that only one out of 10 people would thank the Lord for what he's done? Are you thankful today for what he's done for you? That he still puts up with you and I? That he still loves us? He is a great God. He deserves more than what we give him, doesn't he? Amen. So, let's get going here. In verse 28, "And you shall do no work in that same day, for it's a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before you, the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work on that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among the people." Remember, the only one that's working in those days is the high priest. And you can put in Jesus there. He's the only one working. Because we don't know how to work. We don't know what the work is needed. We don't know what the work needs to accomplish, but he does. And he does the work perfectly for us. And so we just give him thanks for it. "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations and in your dwellings, and it shall be to unto you a Sabbath of rest and you shall afflict your souls. You shall realize all that God has done for you, and really it should bring us to a place of bringing us to ask for forgiveness from God for it. Our souls are going to be afflicted. Our hearts are going to be broken as we realize all that God has done, and we just thank him for it. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing that pride to come back in. And it says, in the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So the days are from evening to the next evening as they go through their days that way. And then it tells us this in verse 33, this next feast, the last feast that we're going to see in this year, says the Lord again, speaking unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, the 15th day of the seventh month. Whoa. Seventh month is a busy month here. But this is what I want you to do. It's going to be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. This feast is going to last 7 days. Remember, we did the eighth and ninth day, and now we're doing the 15th day, busy month. These feasts that are going to be there, and it says, on the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, do no work therein. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the eighth day shall be holy unto you, and you shall offer make an offering by fire unto the Lord. It's a solemn assembly as we remember what God has done. You shall do no work because God is doing the work. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to do it. Can you imagine if you had to sit here and atone for every single one of your sins that you ever committed? Where would you start? I don't know, Lord. I don't even remember half of them. And at my age, I don't remember three quarters of them. I don't know, Lord. How do I make an offering for them? He says, I'll do it for you. Because I know each and every one of your sins, but I know how much forgiveness you need, and I know how to pour it out for you. Verse 37, and these are the feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day. And again, the high priests are doing all this. I don't even know when to offer a burnt offering, when to offer a drink offering, when to offer a wave offering. I have trouble keeping all those things together. And the Lord says, don't worry, I'm the high priest. I'll take care of it. I'll bring the offerings, because I am the offering. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy, to offer an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering, meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day, in order the way that God has it. And God is the only one that can bring it about in the right way. Besides the Sabbath of the Lord, beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which you give unto the Lord, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, so the harvest has come in, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord for 7 days. The first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take unto you the first day the boughs of goodly trees, and the branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute for you for your all of your generations. And you shall celebrate it in the seventh month, and you shall dwell in booths 7 days. And all that are Israelites shall dwell in booths. So they would make these coverings away from their homes and dwell in them for 7 days, and they would remember what God has done. Just a wonderful thing to take time during the year to remember all that God has done and all that he's brought us out of and all that he's brought us into. Oh, such a wonderful thing to remember all that God has done. And he says you're going to dwell in those booths 7 days, and all the Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Why do we do it? Because he's the Lord. Lord, in obedience to you, I want to remember what you've done. And there's blessings in obedience. And it says that Moses was faithful to declare all of these things to the children of Israel in the feasts of those days. It tells us this in Zechariah chapter 14, in verses 16 to 21. it is the end of Zechariah, but it says this, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king. This is what's going to happen in the kingdom age. This is the dwelling in booths is just a picture, because everyone is going to come to the Lord. And in this prophetic, these prophetic scriptures that were given to Zechariah as he writes them down are about the end times. What's going to happen after the regathering of Israel? And it says that everyone is going to come up from all of the nations to come and worship the Lord in Jerusalem during this time. Oh, everyone that's left is going to come and worship the Lord. I can't wait to see this. Everyone that's left of the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Why are they going to Jerusalem? Because that's where God is. They're not going to worship the Jewish people. They're going to worship the God of the Jews. They're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for me, this just shows me that it's an active faith. This isn't something that's passive, that you can just click on the internet and click on a site and say, okay, I'm virtually walking to Jerusalem. Okay, I'm going up the hill. I'm going over the Kidron River. I'm going up to that place. It's an active faith. And folks, I don't know where you are in your walk, but I know where I am in my walk. And boy, sometimes I need a kick in the butt just to get going. Yesterday was one of those kicks with Pastor Ray. It was just like, where's your compassion? Well, I kind of lost it along the way. I got bitter and angry. Well, you're going to repent of it, or are you going to stay in that place, or are you going to come back and get compassion again? Well, Lord, I don't know where to find compassion. He goes, where are you looking? Because I'm the one that's got compassion. Oh, remember, where everything that you need is in Jesus. You don't go to Social Security. You don't go to the government. You don't look to Israel, you look to Jesus. Lord, I don't have the strength to go through another day. I don't have the direction to go. I don't know where it is I'm going to get directions. You don't go to Google and find out the directions. You go to Jesus. Lord, I need to come back to you. I need to walk towards you, Lord, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. And it shall be, it says in verse 17, that whoso will not come back of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, even upon them, there will be no rain. There's going to be no fruitfulness in their lives without them coming to Jesus. And some of us are in a place right now where there's no fruitfulness in us. We're dried up. We just have nothing going. There's no blossoms. There's no fruit. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no forgiveness. There's no compassion. Where do you go to get it? If you stay outside and you're at the uttermost part of the camp, you're going to get burned. There's no rain there. If you don't come back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's no fruit there. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no strength. You're just at an end of yourself, and you're just crying out, and you just want to give up. There's only one place to go, and that's back to Jesus. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain, there's going to be a plague. Do you notice in all of these, wherever God isn't, there's trouble. Wherever God is, there's fruitfulness and joy and peace and hope. Oh, and this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that shall not come up. And in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. It's all capitalized. That's what the Lord is going to wear as he comes. And all the pots of the Lord's house shall be like bowls before the altar, everyone full. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and see therein, and in that day there be no more Canaanite, no more one that's against the things of the Lord in the house of the Lord of hosts. There's going to be pureness and fruitfulness in those places. And we've gone from the start of the year to the end of the year. The start of the year where all those things have already been fulfilled and taken care of, to the end of the year where we see the things that are coming about. And you know what? It's the same God that was at the start of the year that's at the end of the year. And for you and I, there's meaning in that, because we think, I don't know the future, and I don't know what it holds, and I don't know how to control it. And some of you are control freaks. I won't mention names, but you know who you are. You've got to control everything, but you know what? You're not in control. You can plan, you can pack, you can get everything ready, but you're not in control. Only God is. You need to come back to Him and let Him lead you and take away the frustration because you don't know what to do and when to do it and how to do it, but He does. And the same one that took care of the start of the year is the same one that takes care of the end of the year. He's the God of our past, of our present, and our future. And you're not. He knows where you need to go and when you need to go and how you need to get there. And we don't. And we don't even know what it looks like. Well, God, if it looks like it is right now, I ain't going to like it. Because it's a mess. He says, well, it may stay a mess, but I'm still going to be God with you because I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Oh, and folks, if you're in a mess today, thank the Lord for it. Because in that mess, he's getting your heart to call out to Him for direction and hope. So thank Him for it. Thank you, Lord, for the mess, because it caused me to come back to you and to trust you one more day. And thank Him for it. These days are not going to get better, but our God is still the same. And if He took you through yesterday, do you think He can get you through today? Yes, He can. Praise the Lord. Can He get you through today? A little more. Can He get you through today? Okay. You can wake up. It's good. We're all done now. So thank the Lord for it. He's good. He's going to take care of us. It's the same God of our past that's going to be the same God of our future. He can get us there. Be strengthened up. Don't worry about how much strength you don't have. Just know He is the God of all strength, and He can do it. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, just speak to us, Lord. You know where our hearts are. You know where we've been. If we've wandered this week, if we've been in a mess and we're trying to figure out what to do next and we're trying to get to do something and we're trying to get to be something and Lord, nothing seems to be working out, that you would just settle us before you so that we can know the way that you're leading, so that we can hear that trumpet call. Lord, we've been so busy, we haven't been listening to you. We've been listening to the problems. We've been listening to the situations, and we haven't heard you at all. So help us, Lord. Get a hold of our hearts. And Father, if we have never turned to you as Lord and Savior, may today be the day. If we're despondent, if we're frustrated, if we're at the end of ourselves, thank you for it, Lord, because you brought us there just so that we would look to you. May we trust you for salvation. May we trust you to save us through today. May we trust you to save us from ourselves, Lord, and our own devices. Help us, Lord, to have your heart. So speak to us as we sit before you, Lord, and minister to us as we just grab a hold of these elements to remember all that you've done for us so that you will be our God again today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we just come this morning just thanking you for the way that you've taken us, Lord, the days that you brought us to, the days that you're ministering to us in, Lord, that we would just recognize you in all our ways, that we would realize that you have a way that's perfect for us. So help us to hear your call. Help us to repent of the way that we've gone, and help us to turn to you to lead us in the right way, Lord. So have your way with our hearts, Lord, and we hold in our hands these tokens to remind us of all that you've done for us. And if you've done all of this for us, Lord, then you certainly can take care of us as we go further. So, Father, may we remember all that you've done, your body broken, your blood poured out. And as we take these, Lord, that we would do it with thanksgiving, that we would do it with thankful hearts, that we remember that you've taken us all the way through. Father, we rejoice in who you are, and we give you thanks for freeing us from our sins, Lord, from the bondage of those sins. Thank you, Father. We remember, we give you thanks, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.